wish a bunch of young ministers could have just witnessed that. Doesn't take you to say a lot to say a lot. You know, whenever people start exercising in the ministry at the church that that I'm the pastor at, we have a conversation, Brother Josh. It's the definition of terms. Take time, introduce, share the time. And I tell you, the Lord really blessed you to introduce. I felt the Lord, and I appreciate the things that you brought out there. Very God-honoring. You know, I was at Elder Steve Woods' house one time, and there was another brother, Steve Woods, came from a very legalistic type of Christianity where they had to fulfill the law. They believed in keeping the Sabbath and things of that nature. And there was another brother there that was from another order that had come over to Primitive Baptist, and they were talking about that song, Just As I Am. And the one brother said, I don't like singing that song in a Primitive Baptist church. And Brother Steve said, why not? He said, because I sung it so much as an Arminian, I'm just tired of singing it because of what we believed back then. And Brother Steve said, I love singing it in Primitive Baptist church because I can finally sing it with belief. Because he said, I can finally believe what I'm singing. He said, because it says, just as I am, without one plea. He said, whenever I was an Arminian, my plea was the law. My plea was keeping the Sabbath. My plea was, my confession. My plea was my baptism. He says, now whenever I come into the Lord, it's without one plea. But that the Lord's blood was shed for him. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to continue back in the Song of Solomon. Maybe some things that I didn't take time with and probably progress a little bit as well. I try to pray that the Lord put something else on my mind, but we're still here. I can't believe whenever I sat down, I couldn't believe that I didn't go to the fourth verse, which is a beautiful verse here. And if you weren't here this morning, we're looking at the Song of Solomon as a picture of the Lord's church, as a love story, if you will, of a husband which is Jesus, a husband which is a king, a husband which is a shepherd, a husband which is a brother. This shepherd, this husband, this brother, this king is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and his wife is us. His wife is one who's talked about as being black but comely, one that's talked about as being ugly but beautiful, and that's you and I. We're ugly by our nature, but we're beautiful by the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And then in the fourth verse it says this. It says, draw me, we will run after thee. I'm going to tell you, and whenever we talk about pictures and allegories and things of that nature, a picture is never perfect.
Amen.
But what I love here, it says, draw me, we will run after thee. Like if I showed you a picture of Lydia, you're not going to get the fullness of Lydia, right? But you'll get kind of a concept of what Lydia looks like.
Right.
To me, she sent me, and you brethren understand this, and you sisters might not, but she sent me a picture. After we were dating, she sent me a picture of her on her birthday, of her parents that took her to a Mexican restaurant, and they had put a Mexican hat on her head and sang to her, and her hair was up in a bun. It didn't look like Lydia to me. It didn't look like Lydia to me. I like Lydia with her hair down. I do. I don't like her looking like a boy. I like her with her hair down. I mean, the Lord gave her that for her glory and her covering. I mean, I believe in the Bible. But anyway, sorry, baby. But my whole point is, she was still Lydia. She was still Lydia. Sometimes a picture doesn't always, because she sent me that picture, it was Lydia, but it didn't look like Lydia. That's my whole point. Hope I didn't get in trouble there. Just quoting Bob. But the same way with this drawing here, we never, whenever we're dead in trespasses and sins, we never ask the Lord to draw us out of being dead in trespasses and sins.
Right.
But what I want to get here is what it says here. This is a picture. It says, draw me, we will run after thee. I'm going to tell you, it's identifying the only way that you and I can run after the Lord is if the Lord has drawn us.
Amen.
Look what it says, draw me, we will run after thee. Unless you draw me, I can't run after you. Unless the Lord drew us out of being dead in trespasses and sins, we cannot run after the Lord. The Lord says it like this in John 6:44. It says, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Yeah. I tell you, we need to, sometimes people get tired of grace, or people get tired of the simplicity, or people get tired of the fundamentals. The fundamentals will save you from going into error.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, every time somebody would bring up something that would make me question what I believe, I would always go back to the fundamentals. Whenever they say, you have to do this or you have to do that, I would always go back to being dead and trespassing sins. Well, that sounds real good, but if I'm dead and trespassing sins, I can't do any of that stuff that person told me to do.
Right.
Okay, I want you to get this. The fundamentals are so important. He says this. He says, go. John 6:44, if you don't have it memorized and you want to defend the truth which is in Christ Jesus, you need to memorize John 6:44 and know what it means. It says, "No man, none, can come unto me," as Jesus talking, "no man can come unto me except," what I want you to understand, if you're coming to see the Lord this evening, if you came to see Him this morning, if you've ever opened the Bible to see the Lord, if you ever listened to a sermon to see the Lord, if you ever prayed to Him to see the Lord, the except has happened to you. It says, "No man can come to me except," "no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him." And it says, "And I will raise him up at the last day." You know what that tells me? You find me somebody that's coming to the Lord, I'll find you somebody that's been drawn by God, and I'll find you somebody that's going to heaven.
Amen.
Because it says, "No man can come to me except my Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." I'm going to tell you, if you want to be here besides seeing Brother Danny, besides seeing Brother Paul, or by seeing Sister Lydia, if you actually want to be here to see Jesus, I got good news for you. You're going to be raised up one day.
Amen.
I mean, there's coming a day you're never going to let anybody down again. There's coming a day you will never sin again. There's coming a day that you will never lament about a mistake you have made.
Amen.
You're going to be raised up.
That's right.
And he says, "Draw me, we'll run after thee." If we run after him, it's because we've been drawn. Then look what it says here. "We will be glad and rejoice in thee." Isn't that what we do? I want you to see this is talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
What does Paul say over in Philippians? "Finally, my brethren, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice." And right here it says, "We will rejoice in thee." So we will gladly rejoice in it. This has to be talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
I if you put on your gospel metaphorical eyes, you got to see Jesus all in this. I will reiterate. He's a husband. He's a king. He's a brother. He's a shepherd. That is Jesus. And then look what it says here. "We'll rejoice in thee." Rejoice in him. By the way, if you believe you're going to heaven because of your confession, because of what your pastor taught you, or what your mama taught you, or because of your baptism, you're not rejoicing in Jesus. You're rejoicing in that thing that secured your place in heaven.
Right.
Okay, we rejoice in Jesus because He brought us there.
Amen.
"We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee." Look at that. What are we doing right now? Why do we believe that we're going to heaven? Why do we believe that we were chosen before the foundation of the world? Because of God's foreknowledge, right? But you gotta define, because people think that foreknowledge means God foreseeing the future. That's not what foreknowledge means. Foreknowledge means to forelove. It means that God, the word "know" there means to love. It's talking about God's foreknowledge, God's foreloving you before the world existed. It's talking about God's love that He had for you before you even existed. And it says, "Whom He did foreknow," not what He did foreknow, but whom He did foreknow. Who He loved. I'm going to tell you, it's not talking about events. If it was events that He foreknew, it would have said for what He did foreknow. But it said, "For whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate. For whom He did forelove, as Adam knew his wife." Why do we say we were predestinated? Because He loved us. We were elected in what? In love. We were chosen in love. Over in Jeremiah 31 and 3, he says this, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That's talking about regenerated. You were chosen in love, you were born again in love, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to be taken home in love.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You know what it says there? It says, we will rejoice in your love more than wine. Your love is going to be what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Is this not talking about the Old Baptist Church? What else could it be talking about? Who else could it be talking about but Jesus Christ Himself?
Amen. Right.
Brothers and sisters, the Bible does not mean nothing to you if you can't see Jesus in it and you can't see yourself in it.
Right.
This is not a philosophy book. This is a life book.
Amen.
This is a life book. I want to tell you, whenever I seen that verse that said, your voice is sweet, it made me want to pray more to my God. Whenever I seen that verse that said, your voice is sweet, Brother Paul, it made me want to put down my Bible whenever I'm about to have to preach and I'm cram sessioning for a test. It made me want to put down my Bible and sing to my Lord because He said, my voice is sweet.
Yeah.
This is real. The Bible's real. What are we talking about? His everlasting love. We need this right now. Go me to Romans 8 real quick. It says, we will remember your love, is what he says. Go me to the 33rd verse. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Shall troubles here in this world? Is troubles going to separate you from the love of God? No.
No.
This is a rhetorical question, by the way. The answer to all these questions is no.
Amen.
Shall tribulations? No. Shall distress? No. Shall persecutions? No. Shall famine? No. Nakedness, not having nothing to wear, is that going to separate you from the love of God? No. Or peril? No. Or sword? Wars? No. Not going to separate you from your Lord. As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. What does that mean? We are more than conquerors. I know some people have their own definition of what that means, but what I think it means is this. What does a conqueror do? A conqueror conquers, right? A conqueror fights a battle, and then he takes the prized possession that he received for winning the battle, right? The reason you and I are more than conquerors, we did not fight the battle.
Right.
It was given to us. It says, who giveth, over in that last verse of 1 Corinthians 15, who giveth us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. We are more than conquerors because we have received the prize, if you will, but we didn't fight the battle.
That's right.
We are more than conquerors. Then it says this. I want to get this for a reason. And if you've ever had to deal with folks who have lost someone over suicide, you need this. For I persuaded, that means completely convinced.
Yes, sir.
That neither death. That means when you die, you can't be separated from the love of God, and that means how you die.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Brothers, unconditional election means unconditional election.
Right.
I'm tired of people saying who they believe in unconditional election, but if you did this, that, or the third, you really weren't elected. Unconditional election means unconditional election.
Right.
It says, the way you die cannot separate you from the love of God,
amen,
which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, some people try to scare people to not commit suicide by saying you're going to go to hell if you do it. I'm not going to scare you with that. I'm just going to tell you, you come talk to me, and I'll tell you about mama and daddies who blame themselves for the rest of their life because their child couldn't handle it no more.
Right.
I'll tell you about families that have been in ruin ever since somebody in their family took their life because they don't understand why they didn't want to live here no more, that they'd rather be gone and not be with them. I'm going to tell you, that's the reason I'll tell you to hold home. Because there's people that love you, and you love them, and you don't want to wreck their lives. I tell you, I know life is hard. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible says there is not a temptation in this world.
That's right.
That God would allow you to go through that you're not able to bear. It doesn't say that He put it on you, but it says God is so faithful. There's not a thing in this world that you're not able to bear through Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Some people just don't realize how able we are through the Lord. He didn't say it's going to be easy. Didn't say you're going to be singing hallelujah while you go through it. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord will give you the strength to get through it.
Yeah.
I tell you, you want to talk about being bullied? I had me a hiding place when I was a little kid. I moved around so much when I was high school, junior high. Every time I went to recess, there was going to be a fight. I could paint you my hiding place. I just painted it to you so you could just see it. With the walls on this side, walls on that side. And there was a little bench, and I just squeezed in there. Because I got tired of it. I know it gets hard. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, the Lord will bring you through it. Look what it says here. For I am persuaded that neither death. Death ain't going to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nor life. There's not a thing that can happen in this life.
Amen.
That can separate you from the love of your God. Nor angels. I'm going to tell you, Satan's an angel, is he not? He can't separate you.
Amen.
Nor principalities. There's not a law that can separate you from the love of your God. Nor powers. I love the way Paul talks here. He's listing all these things, and he's saying, none of this can separate you from your God. And then he says, if you're not getting the point, nor power. There's not a power on the face of this earth that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's the reason the Song of Solomon says, we will rejoice, we will remember your love more than wine. If we remember about anything that's going to give us comfort in this world, it's going to be your love, oh my husband.
Amen.
And then, I love the way Paul talks here, to the inspiration of God. If you don't understand that no law, no death, nothing in life, no angel, no power can separate you from the love of God, let me just simplify it for you. Nor things present, things that's happening right now, nor things to come can separate you from the love of God.
Amen.
Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm going to tell you what we're doing this morning and this afternoon. We are doing verse 4. Look what he says here. We will remember thy love more than wine. And then over in chapter 2, look what it says here. In the 10th verse. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my fair one, and come away. I'm going to tell you, there's three ways that our Lord talks to us about rising up. One of us is whenever we're in dead, trespassing sins, before we're born again. The way He borns us again is He talks to us like He talked to Lazarus. He says, Danny, come forth. He says, Kevin, come forth. I don't know what name He says, but He tells you to come forth, and you come forth. And I'm going to tell you this, and I know what the brethren mean when they say it, but I've heard people say, good thing He said Lazarus whenever He said Lazarus, come forth, or everybody would have came up from the grave. I don't believe that. I believe my Lord speaks with a purpose.
Right.
And whenever He told Lazarus to come forth, He didn't even have to speak the word. He could have just went. You know what I'm saying? He could have just said it in His mind. And He's
right.
Coming forth.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, and I understand what the brethren mean by that, and I understand the point, but that almost looks like a haphazard God. The Lord does stuff on purpose. But I'm going to tell you, every child of God, if they have every child of God that's been born in the Spirit, it's because the Lord said, rise up. And every child of God, sometime between conception and death, is going to hear that voice where the beloved says, rise up. And I want to tell you, after that, then you're able to hear that gospel call where the Lord tells us this through the preacher. And not everybody's going to hear this, but we've heard it. He tells us, rise up from awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead.
Right.
Awake thou that sleepest. He didn't say awake thou that's dead. He said, awake thou that's sleeping. Sometimes I act like I'm dead. Sometimes I'm sleeping with the dead. So, I mean, because you know the difference between a dead person and one that sleeps? The only difference is one of them's alive, the other one's dead. Neither one of them are moving. And the Lord says, quit acting like you're dead. Arise up. I'm going to tell you, You're my child. Act like you're mine. Praise me. Worship me. Sing to me. Glorify me. Thank me.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you. There's a third voice that every child of God is going to hear. Every child of God hears that first voice. Every child of God hears that third voice. When the Lord comes back, He's going to say, rise up, my beloved. My fair one, come away. The winner is gone. Oh, the winner's gone.
Yeah, right.
You're going to leave this old, dead, dry world behind.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, the birds are singing. The angels are harping. You come on up. It's a good place to be.
Amen.
And you ain't going to say, oh, Lord, we got the Super Bowl coming.
No,
Lord.
No more.
I want to see what it's like to have grandchildren. I'm sure they're grand, but it ain't like being with the Lord. I tell you, this is something we all need to understand. The Lord says, we're going to be satisfied.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes we worry and we say, I don't understand what eternity is going to be like. I do that sometimes. I'm like, every day, every day, every day, one long day, forever, forever, forever. And I'm just like, ugh. But you know what? I believe the Word of God, don't you?
Yeah.
He says, we will be satisfied. It's going to happen. Never been satisfied here. I'm going to tell you, He talks about we're going to be in that glorious body. If the Lord says it's glorious, I don't have to worry about it not being glorious.
Amen.
But whenever He says, come away, we're going to go away. Isn't that beautiful? Then look what it says here. Go with me to Song of Solomon 3. You know, that king that we're married to is King Solomon. King Solomon is a beautiful picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord says, a greater than Solomon's here. And over in the 7th verse of Song of Solomon 3, it says this, behold, his bed, which is Solomon's, threescore valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Yes, there are things that make us fear. But you know what this is saying right here? There are 60 of the most strongest, most ablest warriors and King Solomon's army gather around his bed. There are things to fear, but I tell you who's not fearing in King Solomon's castle is his wife.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you, this is talking about security.
Yeah.
She that lays in that bed, she is secure.
Yeah.
She's got 60 soldiers of the best soldiers gathered around her bed, making sure nothing happens to you. I mean, just think about how else can He tell you, as the bride of Christ, that you are secure? You got nothing to fear. I mean, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. And if you lost somebody with COVID, I'm not tearing that down. Loss hurts, but if you get COVID and you die, you're with the Lord.
Right.
If you get cancer and you die, you're with the Lord. If anything happens to you and you die, you're with the Lord. You know, my dad, whenever I got religion, as he says, I gave him my gun back. I had a pistol he used to carry with me. I gave him my gun back. And I want to tell you, I started reading about Jesus turning the other cheek and everything. And I went in whole hog. You know, I mean, if I got a wife, I'll protect her. I'll shoot somebody for her. But me, what am I? And my dad said, what are you going to do if somebody tries to rob you and they kill you? I said, what, they give me a free trip to heaven? You know, I mean, come on. I mean, you get what I'm saying? We are secure. Yes, I'm not gathering up buses to go to death right now. But what I'm saying, brothers, is whenever we leave our last, whenever we breathe our last breath, we're going to be with the Lord. He has delivered us from fear. You know why people are freaking out because of COVID so much? Because they are literally scared of death.
Yeah, right.
I tell you, people think this is our home. This is not our home. I'm going to tell you, this is, oh, we're in a foreign land. We're strangers and pilgrims here. Our home is in heaven. We're just ambassadors. We're not an embassy. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about being suicidal. I'm just talking about whatever. You understand that God has you secured. Whenever you understand that God has guarded your soul. Whenever you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ has you in the palm of His hand and can't nothing pluck you out and you can't jump out and His Father has it like this, I'm going to tell you, it gives you a freedom.
Yes, sir.
It gives you a freedom where Apostle Paul was able to go preach after being almost stoned to death.
Yeah.
It gives you a freedom as the martyrs of the early Baptist church who would be being burned to death on a stake because they believed in baptism and immersion. And they were able to sing Amazing Grace because they knew in just a little while they'll be with their Lord.
Yep.
I tell you, brothers and sisters, the Lord says this, for fear, in the last days for fear, men's hearts shall melt. Men's hearts shall fail because of fear.
Yep.
Fear is a strong thing. I want you to understand that you are secure. You got the most valiant of valiant soldiers surrounding your bed. And the bride of the cream does not have anything to be scared of.
Right. Amen.
Now, let's go back to chapter 3 real quick. What time is it? We're going to speed preach real quick. Do not misunderstand me. I'm not saying go around and lick doorknobs trying to get the COVID to go home. Okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying don't let it rule your life. And there's a big difference between fear and caution. Big difference between fear and caution. Whenever I go to work, I wear a mask. I wear gloves. I wear the whole gown that they lie when they say one size fits all. I wear that. I'm a nurse. There's no reason for me to wear that, really, because it's broken by the time I walk through the door. But I just want you to get proper context. Over here in Song of Solomon, I want you to see the plot or the lot or the experience of the little child of God. I want you to see yourself in this book. I'm just going to move this brother right there, my bookmark, or my book weight. Alright, look what it says here in the third chapter. By night, on my bed, I sought Him. This is you. This is the little child of God. This is the church member talking about your Jesus. By night, on my bed, I sought Him whom my soul loveth. That's talking about the bride seeking her husband whom her soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. So she gave up, right? No, she kept seeking. You know what you're supposed to do whenever you go to the Lord and pray and you don't see Him? Pray again.
Amen.
You know what you're supposed to do whenever you go to the church house and you don't see Him? Go again.
Right.
You know what you're supposed to do whenever you start singing Amazing Grace, wanting God to fall down and talk to you? Sing it again. Look what she says. I sought Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets. I'm going about Zion. I'm going about the church house. And in the broad ways I will seek Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. Brothers and sisters, I don't have time to go into all this, but one of my favorite places to preach on lately is Luke 11. Whenever the Lord tells them in the first few verses about how to pray, they ask Him to show them the pattern of prayer. He shows them the pattern of prayer, and then after He tells them how to pray, He gives them a parable about a man who went to his friend's house at midnight and said, "Give me some food so I can feed my visitors." And the Lord says this. The man says no. But then the Lord says this. Even though He won't give him because of his friend, because he's his friend, He will give him because of his importunity. The word importunity means because of his persistence.
Yeah.
And then the Lord says this. Ask and it shall be given. Knock and it shall be opened. Seek and you shall find.
That's right.
And that's where the name it and claim it people get it, that if they ask for a promotion, they're going to get one.
Right.
If they ask for a car, they're going to get it. If they seek a publishing clearinghouse guy, he's going to show up at their front steps. That's where they get that from. But they don't read it in context. Because the Lord says this. He says, if you have a son who asks for a piece of bread, will you give him a stone? If he asks for an egg, will you give him a serpent? If he asks for a fish, will you give him a scorpion? So if your son, if your daughter, if your children, Brother Paul, asks for a fish, are you going to give them a snake? No, you're going to give them a fish. And then he says, if you being evil, meaning that you come from Adam, meaning you come from a sin nature, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, this is what you need to be asking for. This is what you need to be seeking for. This is what you need to be knocking for. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? You know what the solution to your every problem that you ever have in your life is? It's the Holy Ghost. If you need strength, guess where that comes from? The Holy Ghost. If you need joy, guess where that comes from? The Holy Ghost. If you need peace, guess where that comes from? The Holy Ghost. If you need comfort in a time of mourning, guess where that comes from? The Holy Ghost.
Right.
You got a temptation or an addiction or a sorrow that you just don't feel like you're strong enough to go through? Ask the Holy Ghost. And whenever you don't feel Him the first time, and you don't feel Him the second time, and you don't feel Him the third time, you keep going to Him.
Right.
Because the Lord says, He didn't do it because of He was His friend,
amen,
but because of His importunity, His persistence. I'm going to tell you, we need to be persistent people. That's why over in Hebrews 11:6 it says, He is a rewarder of them that occasionally seeks the Lord. He's a rewarder of them who conveniently seeks the Lord.
No.
He's a rewarder of them that Sunday seeks the Lord.
No.
He's a rewarder of them who diligently seeks the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, I got to convince myself that my Sunday seeking ain't good enough. My one time a day seeking ain't good enough. I need to be continuously seeking the Lord. Somebody said, brother, the way you talk, it sounds like you think that I don't do good enough. You don't. And neither do I. Praise God. And if you ever think you're doing good enough, get down on your knees because you really need to repent. Well, look what happens here. Because we're going to get to chapter 5 and I'll be like, is that not us? Look what it says here. I will rise now, second verse, and go about the city and the streets. And in the broadways I will seek Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. The watchmen, that's the preachers. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye Him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little while. That I passed from them. Look, me being a preacher, I got to say this. Guess when she found Him? After she left the preacher. Go to church. Hear some preaching. It was but a little that I passed from them, the watchmen, the preachers. But I found Him whom my soul loveth. I held Him and would not let Him go. Is that not us? We just want to see Him. We want to see Him. And then we find Him. We just grab a hold of Him. We're like, I don't want to let you go. Have you ever been to a meeting that was so good and you just stood next to your car talking forever and ever, and you must have said, we gotta go. You must have said that 30 times because in the nature, your carnal nature, just natural self knows you gotta leave, but your spirit's like, I don't wanna leave here.
Right.
Because the Lord's been here. I want everyone to say, we gotta go. You can't hold on to Him forever. You gotta go to work. You gotta cook the supper. You know? You gotta go. You gotta pay the bills. I mean, I wish we could be Jesus minded 1,000% of the time. But we got to do other stuff. And she said, I just held Him. And I would not let Him go. Doesn't that sound like anybody, somebody that anytime they just got a hint of Jesus, they were just wrong, right? Let's go to the 5th chapter. I read the 5th chapter, I'm like, that's me. That's me. We'll end with the 5th chapter. Look what it says here. I am coming to my garden. My sister, my spouse. This is the Lord talking. This is Jesus talking to me and you. He says, I am coming to my garden. By the way, this is the garden. This is the vineyard. This is where the Lord comes to meet us. He says, I am coming to my garden. My sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends. Drink. Yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. And then look what the bride says. Look what you and I say. Is this not you? Is this not me? I sleep, but my heart waketh. I was asleep, but I woke up. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me. Now you would think after she searched for him in chapter 3, and she could not find him, and she kept searching, and she could not find him, and she kept searching, and she could not find him. And then finally when she found him, she said, I will hold him and not let him go. You would think that as soon as she heard the voice of her beloved, she would just get up, spring to her feet, and open up the door. It just seems like that's what would happen, don't it? Is that what she does? You know what she does? I'm comfortable.
Yep.
I'm taking a bath. I got a headache. I'm not getting up. Don't touch me. She's like, I am comfortable. My feet have been washed. I got all my sleeping clothes. I'm not going to... Have you ever been reading a natural, everyday book? And the Lord says, you can read that book, read my book. And you say, Lord, I'm comfortable. You ever been watching a show? And you get convicted and say, you know what? I haven't spent any time with Jesus today. And the Lord says, pray to me. Get in my book. And you say, but this is fun. I like life. You ever had all these plans for Saturday? And then you get convicted because you ain't made no plans for the Lord. You know what? We're too comfortable. We said we wouldn't let him go. And now he's sitting here with a big old neon sign saying, open the door! Let me in! I want to sup with you! I want to spend some time with you! I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, I love spending time with my wife. And not necessarily just talk, but I love embracing her. I love kissing on her. I love being hugged up. I love being close to her. I'm going to tell you, the Lord loves being close to you.
Amen.
And your inner man loves being close to the Lord. Next time you hear the Lord saying, open up, open up.
Yeah.
Next time you hear him say, put the book down, turn the television off, quit talking about that ungodly thing, quit talking about people, quit doing it, and follow the Lord.
Amen.
Because look what happens here. I sleep, my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove. This is his spouse. He's not saying, open up to me so I can save you from hell. He's saying, I want to spend some time with you.
Right.
You're my wife. I want to be close to you. He says, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. My head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. Look what she says, I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved, her husband, put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. That means your heart. That means her insides yearned. I'm going to tell you, sometimes I'm like, no, Lord, I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired. And he'll just let his hand pass by. And I rise up. Say, I'm sorry, Lord. I tell you, there was one time I worked in Kosciuszko. I lived in Winona, Mississippi. You know where all that's at. I lived in Winona, Mississippi. Worked in Kosciuszko. And I just worked about a 15-hour shift, and I had to be back, and I think I was only going to get, if I went to sleep right then, 5 hours of sleep, had to wake back up, drive an hour to Kosciuszko. And I sat on my bed, and I said, man, I'm wore out. And I lay down, and the Lord touched me. He said, read my word. I said, Lord, I'm tired. Well, certainly you'll understand. Certainly you'll understand. Of course the Lord understands disobedience, right? He understands I'm a sinner. That's about all he understands. He doesn't understand sin. It's against his nature. I'm like, Lord, certainly you'll understand. And then he touched me again. And he said, give me 15 minutes. And it wasn't an audible voice. I just felt it here, Brother Paul. He said, give me 15 minutes. And I sprung up from my bed. And I read over there in Isaiah 12. I'll tell you, I preached from that for a year. What the Lord gave me in those 15 minutes, and to be honest with you, I stayed up a lot longer. I was like, oh, this is great. Woo. But what the Lord gave me in those 15 minutes, I'm going to tell you what I preached on for a year. I noticed I was working midnights, and in order for me to be off Sundays, they said I could work a 12-hour shift of seven to seven on Saturday, so I could be off Sundays at the nursing home. And I was working midnight, so it just turned my schedule all around. And my Saturdays were horrible. So I was getting like an hour of sleep. But what I started doing was I started reading the Bible before I got into work. And there was people, and they could see a noticeably change in me. And they would say, man, you're not all feel like you're about to pass out anymore. You got a vibe about you. You got a vibrancy about you. What's going on with you? I'm like, I spent some time with my Lord. And then one of the sisters came back there. She wasn't an old Baptist, but she was part of another order. She came back there. She said, you know what? You convicted me. You convicted me. My excuse has been I'm waking up too early. I can't read my Bible. You convicted me. She said, I need to spend time with my Lord. I want to be like you. I'm like, sister, this is one time. This is one time that I got it right. But what I'm saying is, it makes a difference about us. Whenever the Lord says, rise up, rise up. Whenever he said, wake up, wake up.
Right.
Because we can spend some time with him. But look what happened here, and I'm bringing this to an end. I don't want us to be like this. I want us to, all the time, I know we're not all the time going to be like it, but I want us to all the time be ready. Like the third chapter, we're just searching for Lord. We just can't wait to see him. You see, and in the fifth chapter, she's going to be looking for him again, but it's not going to be in the same attitude. The attitude in the third chapter was, I just want to see my Lord. I want to see my husband. I just want to see my Jesus. The attitude in the fifth chapter is going to be, I just feel so bad. I shouldn't have rejected him. Where is he at? Lord, please forgive me.
Right.
In the fifth verse, she says, I rose up to open to my beloved. And by the way, it's not just the only way we can seek him and find him. It's through reading and prayer. Those are certainly ways, but just doing his commandments.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, are y'all like me? People irritate you, and there's a part of you that just wants to talk about them, and you know you shouldn't. And you want to run them down, and you know you shouldn't, and you do it anyway. How do you feel after you do it? You feel great? Or do you feel bad? And you feel like you need forgiveness? And you just need to take a sin shower? Y'all ever get in those situations? I'm going to tell you, this is a Song of Solomon chapter 5 situation. Whenever the Lord tells you, whenever you have that unction that says, don't say that, that ain't your flesh telling you not to say that. You know who it is? It's the Lord. Look, if there's any unction you ever have to do anything good, it's the Lord. If there's ever a fruit of the Spirit that's on your heart to bear, that's the Lord. And the one who's telling you, shut your mouth, don't say that, that's the Lord. And whenever you say it anyway, you're saying, Lord, I don't need you. I'm having too much fun. I'm too comfortable. I'll get you on Sunday. And then look what happens. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh. And my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself. Not a good place to be. It means that you're a little child of God seeking after Jesus, and you can't find him. You're still going to heaven. But you know what? Jesus is more than your Savior. He's your peace, and he's your comforter, and he's your joy. And there's a lot of times that Brother Danny does not have peace, comfort, and joy because I'm not seeking him like I'm supposed to. I opened up to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. And by the way, this happens in marriage too.
Yep.
I'm not going to use my marriage as an example, but I've got a little wiser than that lately. But Sister Sonia, ever come up to you, want to get close to you, and you're like, not now, Sonia, not now, I'm working on this cradle. I gotta do this. She's about to have this baby. Or you ever want to snuggle up to her, and she's like, I'm counting my calories, just leave me alone. But what happens after she's counted her calories, and she goes back to her husband, his feelings hurt. He might not be ready this time. Vice versa. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, do you like being rejected from your spouse whenever they're trying to show you love? No. Don't reject them. Just like we need to get out of our being comfortable whenever the Lord comes and knocks on our heart, whenever our spouse says, I want to show you love, you let them show you love. Because I'm going to tell you, besides the Lord Jesus Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ, that spouse is the most important thing that God has ever done. It's a picture of the covenant love between God and His bride. And sometimes we play games and we're like, well, you shrugged your shoulder earlier. I'm not coming over. Don't even start down that road. Don't even start down that eye for an eye road in your marriage. Because that's dangerous. We need to have grace in our marriages. Alright. Look what happens here. My soul fell when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchman, now whenever she goes to the watchman that were about the city, that's the preacher, by the way, the watchman that were about the city, found me, they smote me, they wounded me. Have you ever just been denying the Lord? Have you ever just been telling the Lord, I want to go this way, I don't want to go that way, and then you go to the house of God, and you want a message of comfort, you want a message of grace, you want a message of joy, and the preacher just smites you. And you feel like he's been sitting next to you the whole week. You feel like he's been talking to your wife or your husband, getting all the dirt on you. I'm going to tell you, it's because the Lord's giving you a message. Don't be refusing me no more.
Right. Right.
Because look what she says here. The watchmen went about the city, found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil. I had no covering anymore. My sin was discovered. I felt to be awful.
Right.
And I love this. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, then you tell him, I am sick of love. I love that song, I would see Jesus. And that last verse says, and when you see him, and when you see my Savior, you tell him that I long to see him too.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, she says, when you see my husband, tell him I can't wait to see him. And then look what they say. This is very important. Perk your ears up. We're heading towards an end. We're about to park the car, okay? She says, the people that she's saying, if you've seen him, tell him I want to see him. I love him. Look what they say. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women.
Right.
What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? You primitive Baptists, what is your Jesus? More than the Southern Baptist Jesus. More than the Catholic Jesus. More than the Pentecostal Jesus. More than the Mormon Jesus. What is your Jesus that you go to church on Saturday? What's so good about your Jesus that you go to church on Thursday night for the Rich Mountain Association? What is so good about your Jesus that you go to Texas to the camp meeting in the middle of a COVID pandemic? What is so good about your Jesus? You know what she says? He's the chiefest. He's the very best.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, I don't want to put down other religions. My Jesus ain't your Jesus. What I mean by that, people want to wonder why we don't have open communion. Because it says that whenever we take this bread and we take this wine, we're remembering the Lord's death till He come back. And I'm going to tell you, whenever I remember the Lord's death, I don't remember that He tried to save me. I remember that He did save me.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, my Jesus is an accomplishing Savior. My Jesus is one who finished the work. My Jesus is one who perfected the offering. My Jesus is one who did it when I couldn't. My Jesus is one that loved me when I was unlovable. My Jesus put a song in my heart whenever I hated Him. I tell you, He's altogether lovely. He's the chiefest among 10,000. And I'm going to tell you, you know where you see my Jesus the most? It's right here.
Amen.
In the house of God. Brothers and sisters, whenever people ask you about your church, don't tell them we don't have Sunday school. Don't tell them we don't have instruments. You tell them we got the city of the living God with a message preached with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. I'm going to tell you, for you to tell somebody that we don't have Sunday school and we don't have musical instruments, to me it's like you tell them we don't have burnt incense. Why would we have it? Why would we? I'm going to tell you, but we got the Lord.
Amen.
And you know what they said? The beginning of Song of Solomon 6. You know what they said, Brother Kevin? They said, where is he at? I'm going to tell you, whenever you got church problems, don't go telling people about them.
Amen.
Whenever you talk about the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you tell it in such a way that people will say, where is it at? I want to come to.
Right. Amen.
Because she said, after her husband was described to him, they said, where is he at? They said, this sounds like a good fella. We want to meet him. I'm going to tell you, the way we describe our religious experience, the way we describe our fellowship with our Lord, and the way we describe the Lord visiting us with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, it should be in such a way that a hungering soul will want to come and see and experience the goodness of our Lord with us. God bless you.